The scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. That is 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 6 through 10. Let's read. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn of the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong.
It's good to be here this morning. Thankful for those who are here. Hope, pray, and trust that you're doing well. We have the QR code that's up there for those who may be visiting with us. There you'll see the notes that we'll be looking at on this morning. When we consider transparency and how we began on last week, we understand that transparency is very important to be able to know what a thing is, a person is. It's vitally important. And when it comes to us as the people of God, it is the same way. But Paul had that attitude. Paul had that mentality. Paul thought that way too. And the reason why is because he wanted to make sure that the power of Christ ruled in his heart, ruled in his life, reigned in his Christianity. A few years ago, when the pandemic just begun, my sister called me and said that my mom was taken to the hospital. And, of course, that was a Sunday morning. I preached, and then I left that Sunday after services, went to San Antonio, and stayed a few days. Well, while she was in the hospital, the nurses and doctors realized that she was losing strength in her lungs, and she was losing oxygen. And they didn't know what was going on. Over a period of time, they realized that they needed to go ahead and put a vent in her mouth so they could have time to check out things to see where this was going. Well, after a while, they realized that her limbs were starting to lose strength. They come to find out that she had Guillain-Barré. And I remember when the doctor was explaining that to me, and he said, well, the body is fighting to keep it strong, but it's not working. The immune system is fighting against itself. And it caused me to think about the Lord's church and how the body is to be strong and not fight against itself. And when he used the word weakness, he kept using the word weakness. It caused me to think, you know, the church is the same way. We as members of the Lord's church are the same way. People are the same way. We have weaknesses. And in those weaknesses, they have to be made strong. If they're not made strong, then it literally destroys the whole body. As I was thinking about that, I thought about what the Apostle Paul was teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10. I appreciate Brother Lance reading that. And the reason why is because when we consider Paul's weaknesses. Paul understood that he had weaknesses in his life, but those weaknesses were going to be made strong through the power of Christ residing within him, which meant that he could not depend upon his own strength. He had to depend upon the strength of his Lord, his Master, his Savior, his God. When we consider transparency, which literally means to appear as opposed to being opaque, which is shaded, to appear as what one actually is. Transparency is so important because it allows the light to shine through. It allows the rays of the sun to shine through a clear window, a clean window, a glass. When we consider us as the people of God, it's so beneficial to be transparent. It's beneficial to understand that we do have weaknesses in our lives, and those weaknesses must be, well, they must be handled by the Word of God and through humble submission to God's will, His Word. But what are weaknesses? Weaknesses are feebleness, maladies, a want of moral strength in bearing trials and troubles, tribulations. We stop and we consider this and how all men have weaknesses. All men have frailties. No one is above weaknesses. Even the human high priest in Hebrews 5 verse 1 and 2 had weaknesses in order that he may have compassion on those who gone astray, who were weak. Brethren, when we stop and we consider weaknesses, all of us have them. But here's the question. How transparent are we in the midst of our weaknesses? How transparent, how clear, how honest are we in the midst of our weaknesses? Are we honest with our weaknesses? I'm not talking about being honest necessarily with others, but honest with ourselves. What are they? When I can truly be honest with my own weaknesses, with myself, with God, then I can be honest with my weaknesses with others. I venture to say that it's difficult even to be transparent even with your own spouse sometimes concerning your weaknesses. Concerning your God, even with your own brethren. Brethren, when we stop and we consider weaknesses, number one, weaknesses are described in the scriptures a certain way. We know for a fact that weakness is within us. Why? Because it requires us to look at ourselves and to understand that there's something deficient there. Makes us inefficient. Makes us not to be the people that we really want to be or even have a desire to be. And brethren, all of us fit that boat. All of us fit that criterion. No one is above being weak. However, there is a strength that all of us must strive for and attain to, as the Apostle Paul did as well. As a matter of fact, we stop and we consider what was read in our hearing. Paul understood that, well, he was weak, but he had to be made weak for a particular reason. So number one, weaknesses described in scripture. What are they? You go back and you do your own study. I gave you the passages. I really had no aim on trying to look at all of these passages. But weaknesses is the idea of being sluggish, slow in moving and doing what is right, lacking in decisions about things that are lawful or unlawful. That's a good one. Religiously having no power or to promote piety, which is uprightness and salvation, Galatians 4 and verse number 9. That idea of, I really want to talk to people about uprightness and salvation, but I really don't have the strength. What they're saying is, I don't know what to say. I don't know what the Word of God says about that. Or I can't articulate it right. Mental inabilities. Now, notice in your notes, not capabilities. All of us are capable if we put in the work. But mental inabilities, why? Because of a lack of knowledge, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. For this reason, we study to show ourselves approved unto God. For this reason, we're always striving to be the people who are investigating the scriptures. You know, Brother Payton gave me this card, said, can you remind the brethren to pick up these cards? And Brother Don, he announced it. As one of the shepherds, I'm asking you, pick up these cards, hand them out, but put yourself in a position to read and study the Word of God so you can answer questions. Angelo Bible study. Why? Because we want to do our part in helping people not be so weak in the Word, weak in morality, weak in spirituality, weak in uprightness. There's enough weakness around us. We don't want to contribute to that weakness. But look at Matthew 26, verse 41. Remember, we don't have a mental inability. Maybe we have mental inabilities, not capabilities. We have the capability to learn God's will. Remember, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 41, Jesus' disciples were tired. Jesus is praying in the garden here. He goes, he prays to his Father, he comes back and his disciples sleep. I don't believe that they didn't care about what Jesus was going through. They were tired, physically tired. But in verse number 39 to 41, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh," he uses a figure here, "the flesh is weak." Some would say, see, the flesh there is sinful because it's weak. No, he said, you're tired. You want to do what is right, but your flesh is tired. This is why, brethren, truly, and this is not a joke here, this is true. This is why you have to get good rest. When you're tired, sometimes we don't make the best spiritual decisions. Get your sleep. Don't stay up all night. Why? Because we're talking about fighting this warfare, and we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. But keep in mind, brethren, weaknesses, they're seen all over the scriptures. We find men being weak and women being weak and succumbing to sin. Notice, being weak, succumbing to sin. Weakness is not sin in and of itself. Weakness actually positions you to succumb, Brother Royce, to sin. Jesus was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was in the flesh, which means that he had weaknesses, but he overcame them by the word of God. Point number two, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that which was read in our hearing, Paul's bout with weaknesses. Paul's bout with weaknesses. Paul had his run-ins with the idea of weaknesses, and we do too. Here's the question. Are we going to be real about it? Are we going to be honest with him? Are we going to go to God and say, "Father, this is my weakness. My spouse, this is my weakness. My brethren, this is my weakness," which means that I might have to put myself in a position of vulnerability. That's a hard place to be. That's a hard place to be. However, Paul's bout with weakness. Letter A, Paul sought humility in his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 5 and 6. Notice what the Bible here demonstrates to us. "Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my weaknesses, my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me." From what I gather there, Paul there wanted people to see him for who he actually was. That's hard. Yet when we stop and we consider, we understand that. We use the type of language, "I can see right through you." Here Paul said, "I want you to be able to see right through me." But why did Paul need this? Because of all of the revelation he had received from the Christ. Remember, he received that revelation. He didn't receive it from the apostles nor any other man, according to Galatians chapter 2, verses 6 and following. However, Paul did not want to become arrogant, and God did not want him to be arrogant based upon all of the things in which he knew. And so he wanted people to see him for who he really was. We ought to have that same desire. That's tough. It's hard. Why? Because we want people to think one thing, but we're actually something else. No, that's why when you saw Jesus, you saw him for what he was and who he was and how he was. It takes time to get to this point. And this is why good parenting is so important. Young parents, hear me out. It's so important for you to live the right life in front of your children and don't live one way and then be another way, or be one way when you come to assembly and another way when you're at home, or one way here with these people and another way with those people, because what you're doing is you're fostering a person that can't be transparent, admitting your frailties. Paul's extreme knowledge, look at verse 7 and 8. And he says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, notice what God gave him, a thorn in the flesh. Some people try to figure out what that thorn was. Maybe it was his blindness. Maybe it was this. Doesn't matter. It was a thorn. It was something that he had to go to bed with and wake up with. It was something he had to deal with all day long. And Paul says, I prayed about this three times. And Jesus, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my what? My strength is made perfect in weakness. We stop and we consider this and we think about the humility that God had to put Paul through. Keep in mind Philippians chapter 3 verses 1 through verse number 7 and the great pedigree he had. The things that he knew and how he studied under Gamaliel and the education he had, which was almost equivalent to 3 PhDs, some scholars say. This man was highly intelligent. And yet God did his part by keeping him humble. And one thing we do know, according to 1 Corinthians 8 and verse number 1, knowledge puffs up. However, 1 Corinthians 13, 4, love is not puffed up. And so there's a great balance in there that God is teaching us to have. And so Paul's extreme knowledge had to be tempered, yet he wanted to be transparent. Here's the question. Are we transparent? How transparent are we? I stopped and I thought about that and I asked myself that question too. And I'm on this little group with some preachers in the morning and I asked them to pray for me because God's word has a way of showing the weaknesses in your life. And you need people to know I've sinned and I need y'all to pray for me in that area. Pray for me with my weaknesses, that I don't allow my weaknesses to take over me, and the next thing you know, I'm in sin. Isn't that right, Brother Royce? Brethren, Paul's weaknesses was counted by divine strength, as we saw in verse number 9. If you stop and you think about this, Paul, he actually glorified in his weaknesses. Why? He glorified in them. Look at verse number 9 and 10. Very powerful concept. Verse number 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my weaknesses, my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in weaknesses, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Paul, what are you saying? Really, it is my weaknesses where the power of Christ can be seen. I can actually go to the Word of God in that specific problem, that area, whether it is maybe lust in the mind, whether it might be the wanting to steal or some other crazy thing of that nature, wanting to be around the wrong people, wanting not to obey my parents. You fill in the blank. You can go to the Word of God, and the Word of God, which is the power of God, the strength of God, will help you in your weaknesses. Maybe I'm a liar. God's word teaches us how to speak truth. Maybe I'm a fool. God teaches us how to be wise. Stop and think about that, brethren. Paul wanted to know Christ. Where was Paul's strength? Paul's strength was in knowing Christ, Philippians 3 verses 8 through 11. How do I overcome the weaknesses in my life? I think I figured that out, brethren. I think I figured it out. I believe that brethren are equating weaknesses with sin. And so they're saying, well, we're all in sin. Brethren, we can't be in sin and be in fellowship with the Father. But we can have weaknesses. Because God can help us with our weaknesses, our infirmities, the things that we're working on, as long as we have the mind of Christ. It makes sense. It makes sense that the Apostle Paul could say that Christ is the one that empowers me. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm living for the one that died for me. Paul's weaknesses were because of Christ. which made sense talking to Mikey and Scott yesterday, and we was talking about this idea. And how could Paul know that he was weak in certain areas? The Word of God teaches you your weaknesses. It makes sense that when I'm not studying the Word of God, meditating, saturating the Word of God, allowing the wisdom of God to saturate my mind. Thank you for that, Brother Zach. It's a good point yesterday. Because when we're reading and think about God's word, you can't help but to look into that perfect law of liberty. You can't help but to look into that mirror and see the things you need to work on. Can't help it. And no wonder we can say, to God be the glory, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. Why? Because God's word teaches me. No wonder the devil is trying to thwart the will of God, trying to change the word of God, trying to change definitions and ideas. Why? Because if I can change that, then you don't have any weaknesses. But the very fact that God's word is pure and it's right. Paul said in Romans 7, verse number 7, that I would not have known sin if it wasn't for the law. I wouldn't know how to love my brethren, Romans 13, verses 8 through 10, if it wasn't for the Bible, the Word of God. Am I weak in that area? Some are. And so Paul, he understood that Christ was his strength. So I glory in my weaknesses, Paul would say. I was pondering that, thinking about that. I'm like, man, that really don't make any sense. And then it made sense. When you go to the Word of God and you receive strength, that's the strength that you need to overcome the weakness that particular day, Luke 9, 23. Well, what about tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. Don't worry about yesterday. Worry about today. And so when we stop and we consider, God wants us to overcome our weaknesses. How, God? John 3, verses 19 through 21. Turn your Bibles there. In John 3, 19 through 21, here Jesus says with his own mouth, 19 through 21, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. You know, when you're reading God's word, when you're meditating on God's word, when you're applying God's word, you want to figure out what's wrong. You want to figure out the weaknesses in your life. You want to figure out the sin that is easily besetting you. You want to figure those things out. So you go to the Word of God and you say, Father, help me with that. How do I know that? Because of what Jesus said in verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been wrought in God. Friends, it makes sense. It makes sense. So what will it require? It requires us being honest. If I have, and you fill in the blank, brethren, you just fill in the blank. If I have such and such, just be honest with it. Own it. And if people come to you, if your brethren come to you, you read something, you're in fellowship, talking with Leon just the other day, and we were studying together, and he said some things, and I hadn't even told him about this, but I'm like, that's a good point. I need to work on that. He didn't say, Mike, you're in sin because of blah, blah, blah. He didn't know. But because of Bible study and fellowship. Brethren, this is why we got to fellowship with one another. And when we're fellowshipping, we got to use the Word of God to do it. Malachi 3, verses 16 through 18. So we got to be honest and we got to be humble. I don't know it all. You don't know it all. We don't all have it together. Paul said we're striving toward the mark. We're trying to get there. But I need you to help me get there. But if we don't think we need each other, brethren, we're going to have a problem. That's the world out there that we live in right now. Can't tell them nothing, some of them. Brethren, in the church, we ought to be able to tell each other what is right. And when they tell us the truth, we ought to say, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth. But then we need to be honorable. Need to be honest. We need to be humble. We need to be honorable. How? By being strong in the Lord. Positioning yourself to be strong so you can bear the infirmities, the siblings who are weak And brethren, at times, we are the weak ones. Isn't it interesting that when people quote that passage in Romans 15:1, they're always the strong one? That's not true. Because we're not strong in every single area. That's why we're a body. And I don't know about you, but I'm 51 years old, brethren, and these knees are already creaking. And I'm like, good night. And guess what happens? These hands go right to it and help them out. And they rub them. You know why? Because they're all in this together. Guess what? It's an honorable thing to be helped by your brethren. It's an honorable thing to be helped by your spouse. It's an honorable thing to be helped by God and his word. That's honorable. We don't know it all. We need each other. So maybe you're not a child of God. Brethren, we need to tell those who are not children of God, you're not weak, you're in sin. You need to have your sins washed away so you can be in the position of weakness. Why? Because weakness doesn't equate sin. But sin always involves weakness. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of sins, confess Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer. Let us pray for you. Because we're all weak, but we're not all in sin. And it is that weakness that can be made strong by the power of the word of God, by the power of the fellowship, and our humility, honesty, and honorableness toward Jesus Christ and him crucified. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.